program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And tonight, I'm coming to you live from Deer Valley, Utah. 6,500 feet elevation, so the air is a little thinner, but no less hot. Oh, it's beautiful. Great day of skiing. I'll tell you a little bit about that here in a minute. But I got to get to the news of everything that's going on, because if you will remember, on Wednesday, when I was on the air, I talked to you about this news story that popped up about the Daily Mail. They put out a piece where they started tracking what was going on with Obama's new house. You know, this is the house that he's rented from, who is it, Joe Lockhart, right? The Bush, Clinton spokes guy. And a big house, beautiful home, lots of room. And an interesting development that Valerie Jarrett, who was the longtime consigliere to the Obamas, moved in to the house. She's moved all her stuff in and is planning to live there with the Obamas. Now, I told you, I mean, look, she's a grown lady, right? Presumably, you know, has enough funds to live on her own. So there's a very specific purpose for her to be in this house. And it all ties into, let me be clear, it all ties into everything that is going on right now in the news with Sessions and all these attacks that are being lobbied against Trump and Trump's cabinet. It all comes together full circle. Because I'm telling you, the pieces are beginning to fit, and I'll take you through it here step by step. So just hang on. Hang on. So when I told you about this, now look, there is no doubt. You got to understand. Let me paint the picture for you. Let me ask you this. Obama, come election day, election night, or perhaps the morning after, was he happy or unhappy that Trump was elected? All right. Of course, not happy. Was he surprised? I don't know. I actually think he probably was a little bit wiser about some of the polling than many of the people in the liberal press. But I do think that it's on some level he was surprised by it, and certainly unhappy about it, because for Obama, for in 8 years of his presidency, a very critical time, he, you know, of course, did many radical things and pushed a radical agenda, and that agenda required what? It required some time for it to set in. It's like concrete. You pour concrete and it's wet. The longer you let it to dry, to set, the more solid it's going to be, the harder it's going to be to remove. And it's the same way with legislation. You know, you build a new aid, you build Obamacare, for example. Easier to get rid of it now than it would be in another 8 years with the layers and layers of intricacies built into it. You know, it's just one example. So for Obama, you have to understand his mentality. For him, he's a young guy. He's a radical guy. Make no mistake about it. Whether you like him or not, he was a radical guy. He pushed a radical agenda. And he certainly wanted, in every fiber of his being, to have his legacy stay put. So what does Trump represent to him? So smoke clears, right? The election's over. The two of them meet. You know, Trump goes to the White House, and they make nice. You know, they have a nice meeting, but at the core of it, Obama's terrified, and I guarantee you that as this story begins to develop, you're going to realize, and I hope the media, I hope there are some people in the media. Well, certainly I will, of course. While you listen to the program, we'll get to the heart of what happened in that interregnum period between you know, election day and the inauguration. Because I think the story that will come to light will be that Obama did everything that he could to ensure that he had his people in the government who shared his ideology, maybe people he went to school with or people that went to school with his friends, that were, you know, maybe not the Secretary of Defense, but the, you know, the third assistant to the Undersecretary of National Security. These people, when they talk about the deep state, they're talking about positions, people in government who are not elected, they're not appointed, they're career people, but these are career people that were hired under Obama, and they owe Obama an allegiance. And more than that, these are people that in their core revile Trump. Trump to them and the change that Trump wants to make is absolutely an antithesis. So on Tuesday, what happens this week? I know memories are short, but what happens on Tuesday? Well, Trump goes to Capitol Hill, you know, goes to the joint session of Congress there and delivers what was, and I went through it, you know, the other day, gave an absolutely phenomenal speech. And if you'll recall, the Democrats literally, I mean, just stopped in their tracks. Because for the first time, things and words like presidential and respectful and powerful and compassionate were being thrown around to describe Trump's rhetoric and his cadence. And we'd never heard these kind of words, have we, right? From members of the left-wing press, from the fake media crew. No, because for all this time, everything that we've heard, all that we've heard has just been antagonistic drivel. You cannot imagine, if you've got these, remember I talked to you about these people now that are in that government, that were hired by Obama, that are his acolytes, that think the same, that feel the same, that hate Trump. What are they thinking? In that moment, when they see him giving that speech, they see that even Rachel Maddow and other commentators at PMSNBC are basically complimentary, are starting to, you know, give, you know, oh, well, some, who was it that said that this is Trump finally became president? And all of these people right now, mark my word, are thinking to themselves, these people in the deep state are thinking to themselves, crap, this isn't good. This isn't good. This is not how it should have gone. You know, Trump by this time should have made himself a total buffoon. He should have crashed and burned. He should be roundly criticized. He should be drummed out of town. Because remember, these folks believe, I'm telling you in their heart of hearts, they believe that Trump has no chance of surviving 4 years, let alone eight. And they take it as their sacred mission to destroy him. Now, this is not, by the way, I want to take a brief detour here for a second. This is not how the American system works. We have elections. Elections have consequences. You know, all these politicians, they talk a big game on democracy. But here was a legitimate vote. People voted. There's a system. There are rules. And the rules selected Trump. That's it. It's a democratic decision. So how do you get around that? And you have to come back to this. You have to come back to this entire concept that the election was stolen, that he's illegitimate, that the Russians interfered. And I am sick and tired of hearing from other conservatives even accepting the premise that this election was stolen, that the Russians hacked the election. I feel almost stupid saying it because I've been repeating it over and over again here on the program. If you follow me, you know I've told you many times the Russians did not hack the election. There two email accounts, by the way, two email accounts: Donna Brazil and John Podesta. Big frickin' whoop-de-doo. Okay? If you think that Hillary Clinton lost the election because those emails were made public, then you have, there is no helping you. If you thought that Hillary Clinton was a viable candidate before those leaks, you're lost. But the people in the deep state do, and maybe they don't really believe it. See, I'm a highly skeptical person. And I have training here to understand how these political types think. And what they understand very shrewdly is if you can cast a pall over Trump's presidency, accusing it of being illegitimate, and going on and banging the pots and pans and this dead horse of Russian hacking, then they're able to either slow okay, or totally delegitimize Trump. And that's what they want. And this is why I'm telling you, why do you think, in his post-presidency, you know, he got told you this on Wednesday, he got a $60 million book deal, Obama did. I mean, you'd think he'd sit down in his house and hammer out a book. If somebody wanted to pay you $60 million to write two books, I think that's the deal, two books, $60 million, what would you do? I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd lock myself in my house and start writing two books like that. But there's something more going on. And that something more is he's moving his – he doesn't need Valerie Jarrett to help him – Jarrett helping him write two books. She's not his editor. No. And that's what the Daily Mail reported before this whole story with Jeff of Jeff Sessions broke, right? When we it became so that Valerie Jarrett had moved into the Obama household, and that they were planning to it was being set up as a nerve center for the opposition against Trump. And this matters because you have to understand that these things are not coincidental. Nothing is. This is absolutely planned and targeted. There is no coincidence that it came out now that Jeff Sessions had contacts with the Russian ambassador. And by the way, the whole story is a non-issue. Okay, well, first of all, I remember in Cleveland, I was there. This is one of the meetings was purportedly between him. Sessions during the campaign, yes. In the RNC met, but there were a number of different in Cleveland. They met with the Russian ambassador and a host of other ambassadors from different countries, some 22 in all. And there's nothing unusual about that because, it's no secret Jeff Sessions was before he became Attorney General, was a sitting member of Congress. On the Foreign Services Committee. So there he is. He's meeting with foreign ambassadors all the time. Joe Manchin from Virginia just said, yeah, I met with him too. I was in that meeting. Nancy Pelosi has a picture of her being in a room meeting with the Russian ambassador. That's right. Pelosi herself. Any outrage about that? I think not. And the reason is because this outrage is totally and fully, completely selective. And you know, by the way, I mean, so in my opinion here, I think Obama really wants to, and these people really want to set themselves up as a bit of a shadow government. And that term, by the way, comes from the British system, British parliamentary system. There's a winning party and a losing party, right? And the minority party has a shadow cabinet. So they pick every position in government, and those people aren't in power, but they're there just in case their party gets a majority of the votes, and presto, they have to go in. So there's this shadow government. That's where the term, by the way, comes from. But this is not our system. And it should worry you. It should worry you tremendously. To have this kind of backroom dealing, sabotage and interference with not just our domestic policy but our foreign policy, and with the inner workings of our government by a handful of unelected people, it ought to worry you. And I think it's going to be dealt with. And I do think that the Sessions thing is just a total joke. And I'll give you some examples. I want to get into examples of what happened during the Obama years and some of the examples of Holder. And I know the hypocrisy on the left, it's a common thing. But all the different places and times when Holder, who was the Attorney General for a large part of Obama's administration, how he failed to recuse himself. And Loretta Lynch, you remember his second Attorney General, who met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac? And they was like, oh, it was just a chance meeting. But you know what he did? He put the screws to her to not prosecute his wife, to stop investigating his wife for all those, you know, pesky emails that shouldn't have been on her homebrew server. Remember that? And where was this media? Where was the outrage from Paul Krugman at the New York Times? No, no, they were all waving their hands saying there's nothing to see here. You tell me what's worse. Hillary Clinton there, you know, with under investigation by the FBI, and Bill Clinton meeting with the attorney general who's leading that investigation? Or is it, you know, Jeff Sessions with five other senators meeting 22 ambassadors, talking about general, you know, make nice foreign policy type of nonsense? Give me a break. Such a load of hogwash. Okay, back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The other day, where he just drove off, sometimes life's okay. And we're back. Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. So, of course, I might sound a little bit different. And as I told you earlier, the show is on the road again. Whenever I do leave Orange County and I happen to have to be somewhere, which in this case is Utah, I take you with me. So, so here I am. I'm in my hotel room in Deer Valley. I've got a beautiful view. The mountains are totally covered in snow. So we in California are not the only ones. The interesting thing is, okay, one of my favorite things about skiing, can I just say this really quickly, is unless you've got a group of four, you're always riding with someone on the ski lift, right? Because most ski lifts carry four people, and so you always get people on there with you. And you talk to people from all over the country. And so for, you know, the 5-minute ride up the mountain, you have this totally candid conversation with strangers. And they're from everywhere, from all over. And that's always, I don't know, that's always fascinating to me. And most of the time, most of the time you can get actually people to give you some very, very candid responses because they know they're never going to see you again. Good. Well, let me tell you, before I return to this Jeff Sessions thing, just to give you an idea, when you hear all this noise about how Trump won the election only thanks to the Russian hacking, gosh, Hillary Clinton, if you missed this, don't worry, I'm going to fill you in. Someone asked her, she went to Wellesley College, back to her alma mater, she went to school there, and she went to a private Q&A session after giving a speech there. Probably didn't get paid very much money for it this time around. But at any rate, they asked her what aspect of her campaign she would do differently if she had to do it all over again. And you know, that's a great question because I'd want to know the answer to that too, wouldn't you? And you'd think, you know, maybe 3 months in, you've done some soul searching and you realize, you know, maybe I would have asked John Podesta to put, you know, a different password than password as his password to his, I don't know. Maybe I would have been a little more human. Maybe I've been a little more candid. Maybe I should have come clean with my, you know, my whole email scandal early on. Just mea culpa, you know, put palms up and say, yeah, you know what, I goofed. You know what she said? The only thing she would change, I'd win. And this is the arrogance, folks, that we're dealing with. There is no interest in understanding anything about... Liberals do not have any introspection whatsoever. And I'll explain it to you. It's a very easy explanation if you understand the liberal psyche. Because the liberal is right and you are wrong. Have you ever found this? You know, you sit down, you got a liberal friend maybe at work, you know, it's kind of a left-wing, you know, left-wing nut, and you try to talk to him about your opinions, and they just shut you down because it's an emotional thing. They don't want to listen to, they don't want to talk facts. They don't want to get into any detail. It doesn't matter because they are right. They are more enlightened than you. They care more. Their heart is in the right place. They, you know, they bleed for people. And you're just a mean, you know, wascally, you know, conservative that wants to hold on to his tax dollars. God forbid. Well, anyway, that's Hillary Clinton right now. I'd win. That's the only thing she'd change. And so, against this backdrop, we have every Democratic leftist and even some horribly spineless Republicans in Congress who are starting to, you know, fold under pressure here. That they're, yeah, I mean, the Republicans in Congress, there's no excuse for it. And I'm actually even dismayed, frankly, that Sessions has agreed to recuse himself. I don't like it. I don't like it because, I'll tell you next segment here, all the different things that happened under Obama, you know, with Eric Holder, for example, Obama's top attorney general who was there for most of his term, all the different ways that everybody's saying that Jeff Sessions ought to recuse himself and resign and disappear into the sunset, all the shady stuff that happened under Obama's tenure. But you know, it doesn't matter because they came from a good place. They came from a place of caring. They care. So everything else is okay. Means justify the ends. All right, back after this. The news next, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. All right, welcome back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And as I told you earlier, we're coming to you live from beautiful Deer Valley, Utah. Always nice to be here and really appreciate everyone's hospitality for hosting us here during our stay. And that means I get to come and take you. You know, whenever I travel, as you know, I always bring the show with me. And so here we are. Good stuff. All right, so we're going through this whole nonsense with Jeff Sessions and the enormous brouhaha that is coming from mostly from the left and here and there from pockets on the right. And I just, you know, one thing a lot of people must be wondering in all of this is, you know, did he do anything wrong? I mean, because first of all, you know, Trump is backing him, right? I mean, this isn't like the Flynn situation where Trump, you know, publicly was like, yeah, you know, we got a problem here. You know, it seems that, you know, we weren't told the whole story. But here in this case, Trump is backing Sessions with 100% confidence behind him, and they're not disputing any of what's being reported. And that's really critical, right? I mean, you know, again, so the answer is no. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Jeff Sessions was, before he became attorney general, was in the Senate, right? He was on the Foreign Services Committee, and he was, as part of that, routinely had contacts with foreign ambassadors, and not just the Russian ambassador, other ambassadors too. In fact, one of the meetings, as I told you earlier, was, I think there were some 20, 22 ambassadors at that meeting, and the Russian guy was just one of them, just one of the guys at the party, at the get-together, and there were other Republicans there. Other Republican senators and maybe even congressmen. It is such a non-issue. And you always got to ask yourself, what's the big deal if the guy who's being accused of something says, yeah, that happened. Can you imagine Hillary during the campaign? You know, hey, tell me more about those emails. Oh, no, there's nothing to see here. There's no problems. You know, oh, no, this is all nonsense. And instead, Sessions is going, hey, yeah, I mean, I did it, but I didn't do it. And this is the critical thing you must understand. I met with the guy, but not as a member of the Trump campaign, not as a surrogate of Donald Trump. I met with him in my capacity as a U.S. senator. And I'm inclined to believe it because, I'll tell you this. And what's the joke, right? If you've got a meeting with three people, you know, don't expect anything to ever be kept secret in that get together. So when you have a meeting with, you know, I don't know, 20 odd politicians, the details of that are going to leak. The other thing you have to remember is this is all stuff that the FBI looked into. They looked into, they investigated it. That's why it's leaking out, because it got investigated. And none, by the way, none of these leaks, right, none of these deep state Obama holdover operatives that are sabotaging the Trump administration, none of these sources, even the New York Times and the Washington Post, are not reporting that anything criminal happened, that there was any sign of wrongdoing, that there were any, there was any indication that Trump or Sessions colluded, right, colluded with the Russians to hack the DNC or whatnot. So none of that evidence exists. And I keep telling you, there's great examples of just totally shady stuff that that in the Obama administration, when the press didn't do anything and just kind of rolled over and said, yeah, that's no problem. Eric Holder, you know, Fast and Furious, you know, the gun selling and, oh, voter intimidation, remember that? Holder refused to prosecute. I mean, there are instances over and over again where really shady stuff was going on, illegal stuff, refusal to prosecute serious crimes, politically motivated 100%. And here, this is just nothing more than a smear. It's an effort to delegitimize Trump, because the left's greatest fear is that Trump is going to be effective. And an effective Trump is not a good Trump for the American left. All right, we'll be back after this. Sam Rojofsky here. You know, I'm telling you, I'm up in Utah right now, Deer Valley, and I did a little bit of skiing this afternoon, and I was telling you how you talk to different people on the chairlift. I'm talking to this one guy who has a son down in West Hollywood in California, back home, right? And he's telling me, yeah, he called him the other day and says, Dad, I got a Trump hat, you know, and I got a Make America Great Again hat. And this guy, the chairlift, goes, son, he's like telling me this. He goes, son, whatever you do, do not wear the hat. Because he's worried about his kid, you know. And I just saw, Missy was telling me as we were prepping for the show here. She's telling me, yeah, you know, I just saw a young person driving a Prius in L.A. and they had a Trump sticker on their car. Interesting. And immediately I thought of this conversation I'd had on the chairlift, and I thought, you know what? That's bold. That's brave, right? We talked about it here a lot. And so I'm gonna directly speak to this Prius driving brave person. If you get rear-ended by some crazed liberal, and this is true for any of us, right? Because, you know, people are out there doing crazy stuff. They're on their phones. Whatever it is. You might get into an accident, and if you do. You're going to need some help. You don't want to get into that situation where you're talking to their insurance company and they're making up stories, and all they want from you is just to get information from you that they're going to use against you. Don't do any of that. You got to call attorney Sweet James Bergner, and he's the attorney we trust here on the program because he gets results. Millions of dollars collected for his clients. Great results on cases. Every case, large and small, you know, even if it's just a fender bender, and you feel a little bit of pain, don't let them talk. Do not get screwed out of your settlement, okay? Don't get screwed out of getting what's right. And believe me, insurance companies will do just that. So what do? It's easy. You call Sweet James, and he's a good guy, and he'll gladly talk to you and go through everything with you and make sure that you're taken care of and protected. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right, we're back. And again, up here in beautiful Deer Valley, Utah, it's a little later in the evening here, an hour ahead, so very dark outside. Beautiful lights down in the valley. I've got this beautiful view from where I'm at. I'm looking down into Park City. And I have to tell you, you know, when you're up here in the mountains like this, and it's snowy. Two things. One, it's dead quiet. You know, when you have snow everywhere and it's on the trees and it's on the ground, the sound is it's all muted, right? Because it all just, and so that's beautiful. And the other thing is it's just dark. And so the stars, you know, it was a clear day today, no clouds, and the stars are bright, and it's just beautiful. So very happy to be here. You know, I'm gonna get into this in the final segment. You're not gonna want to miss it, because I want to explain now where all of this is going, right? Because I don't want you to despair. If you're looking at what's going on with Sessions and Trump and all these people getting attacked and these leaks coming out and undermining Trump, and you think, oh, this is what it's going to be like for 4 years. I don't want you to panic. I don't want you to worry about it, because I think that in the end, you're going to see, first of all, these people are slowly going to get weeded out. And even though they're in the government, they're going to get found out. And I've explained in past shows how Trump's going to do that. They're going to weed some of these people out. But the other issue here is that you can't fight you can't fight the democratically elected government. And just because if you're a liberal and you're in Brentwood, or you're a liberal and you're in Manhattan, or you're down in Florida, you're somewhere, and you live in your bubble of liberalness, and you think that everybody, I mean, it's just no way. There's no way this happened legitimately. Come back to, I'll remind you what I said on Wednesday. When he gave that speech, and for a brief few hours, we had unity, right? Even the liberal press said, yes, that was great. Finally, he's presidential. Fantastic. And what did the market do? Gangbusters, right? The Dow shot to 21,000. And why was that? Because they saw that the handcuffs were coming off, that the opposition to Trump might just relax, and he would have the opportunity to do the things that he promised. And the markets and the people want that. All right, I'll tell you more when we come back. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And welcome back. Sam Rachofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So, a bit of personal news for me tonight. My sister Gabriella had her baby today, just a little bit ago, and very happy. I am now officially an uncle. So I guess that makes me Uncle Sam, right? So congratulations, Gabby and Chris. Very excited for your baby girl. And I can't wait to get back. You guys had to have this baby when I'm out of town. Jeez. Anyway, all right. So back to this political thing and rounding it all out. I saw this poll here. A Fox News did a poll and said over half, 53%, of people polled want the protests against Trump, want the opposition against Trump to end. It's an interesting number, right? Because I would assume, and a lot of people I talk to who are even, you know, maybe apolitical a little bit, or just sort of on the fence, maybe didn't vote for Trump, but are open to his policies. Their general feeling about this is, let the guy prove himself, give him a chance. You know, we're in just a few weeks, and I'm not worried, but if I was a Democrat, I'd be a little worried about overplaying my hand. And I think that that's what the Democratic Party risks, because you've got this situation here where they lost the election because their ideas weren't good. People didn't like their ideas. They liked Obama, but they didn't like his ideas, because when a candidate came along that they didn't like, they weren't interested in giving her a chance. They didn't want to. And this is the crucial bit, right? You don't want to be the opposition party of no, and be the obstructionist party. Where are their big ideas? Where's their vision for this country? And that's really what ought to be happening. And every time that there are just, you know, throwing obstacles Trump's way and undermining Trump. And now these, I think as we get deeper into this, we'll see that, you know, that Obama's leading this effort. I don't think that this is the way forward for the Democratic Party at all. Because the American public, we are a country fundamentally of optimists. We are forward thinking. We want, we hope and aspire to bigger and greater things. And Trump's a guy who's going to continue to beat that message. And the Republicans better get behind him. And the Democrats that are viewed as obstructionistic are going to be, you know, are going to be left in the dust. This is not a winning strategy for getting anything back. All right. I will be back Monday next week. So look forward to talking to you then. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Can't stop.